This is CliffCentral.com. Do you smell spring in the air? Or am I imagining it? I took a picture of this over the weekend, like some jasmine, which is flowering in the garden. And I thought, that is spring. There's the smell of spring right there. And it's happening, baby. Good morning to you, and especially to you. It's Wednesday. It's already the 16th of August. Look at that. Morning, Ben. Good morning, Sia. Good morning, Mabs. Hello. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. I just realized hay fever season and allergies and pollen as well that comes with spring.
The whole of winter's been like allergy season to me.
Sniffles and the hoona.
All right, what's happening? Brand new day. What's going on? We're going to talk to a dude who's a blind film critic just now. His name is Tommy Edison. He watches movies and then he reviews them even though he can't see them. Interesting stuff, right?
Well, I mean, we're going to find out from, you know, the things that he pays attention to, seeing as though he can't rely on the visual.
Exactly. Correct. He's been a professional in radio for 25 years, having spent the last 19 as a reporter at Star 99 FM in Connecticut, as a traffic reporter. Again, he can't see the traffic, but he's able to translate it into useful terms to the radio audience. Very clever. He says, I watch movies and I pay attention to them in a different way than sighted people do. I'm not distracted by all the beautiful shots or attractive people. I watch a movie for the writing and the acting.
So basically, he could even enjoy a movie with Maggie Gyllenhaal in it.
Yeah, well, he personally says like he doesn't get the whole buzz around, for example, Robert Pattinson, the Twilight dude.
Is he that good looking?
No.
The Robert Pattinson dude.
He's not good looking at all.
Amanda,
was he meant to be?
He's so hot.
See?
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah. What is it about him? The whole. You haven't barked in two weeks.
It's like that pale skin, like there's just something about it.
Is it the character or is it him?
The character also. Okay. Like him also, wouldn't mind.
Well, that brooding kind
of. So if he had to replace Hugh Grant in all of Hugh Grant's movies, would he be as hot?
I don't think Hugh Grant,
because his character was hot apparently. But what if he had to play different characters?
I think a lot of it has to do with the way Robert was introduced to people. You know that whole Twilight phase.
Teen angst.
I mean, if his first movie had been anything else, I don't think he would be that much of a big deal.
Yeah, it's because of his character.
I think he was in Harry Potter.
Yeah, he was.
But he wasn't amazing then. he wasn't.
Because he was probably 11, Amanda.
No, so then it was the character. So Charlize is still in Cape Town, and I still haven't had any intel.
No response.
Well, how many more tweets have you trolled over?
Yeah. No. It was just the one. I don't want to seem desperate.
You've got to.
No intention. Again, this is your big fallback.
You've got to slide into DMs. You've got to play by the new rules.
I'm not going to do that.
How much do you really want this?
Yeah.
No, you don't want to be. I mean, she must get DMs from freaks and creeps all the time.
Well, that's why you got to up your game.
Charlize Theron. And imagine the amount of traffic through her DMs.
Yeah, but you must be persistent.
I don't think you can DM her unless she follows you.
On Instagram, you can DM anyone.
Oh, really?
I know, it's Twitter. It's
What am I going to... Okay, tell me what I should say. This is a learning lesson for all of us. Go on.
Well, I quite liked the part where you offered to be...
Servant.
Which woman wouldn't want that?
What's that song? I'm a slave for you. Oh, that's Britney Spears.
Britney, yeah. So basically, if you crawl on the ground, Gareth, with very little clothing, sing that song.
Yep. Yeah. That's it.
How does it go, Amanda? You're a big Britney fan.
I don't know those words to that song, but I do love that jam, though.
All right, so I should...
I say selfie.
Just be honest, Gareth. Just say, in the 45 years I've been living on this earth, no one has touched my life quite like you.
Oh,
So that would be a lie. Okay, 47. 47? Good Lord, Ben. You age me way more than I should be. You're making me feel even more reason not to have a party. I'm not doing anything to celebrate. Nothing.
Yes.
Zero. I know I may be young, but well, that doesn't count.
Wasn't this her whole performing with a snake
yeah.
situation?
She's really hot in this music video, huh?
She's a bit greasy, though.
What do you mean by greasy?
Like her hair, and she looks like sweaty. I think that's the whole point.
Yeah, I was about.
Well, when you're a slave, you've got no time to bath. Yes, how's that little midriff? That is such a turn on when, like, there's that flat stomach and that narrow little waist. Yo! That's probably the. Wow, that's hot. Jesus. Oh. I forgot about her. There's Britney. A little bit of that.
It would be the same.
See, now, if I were blind, I wouldn't appreciate Britney. I'd look for other reasons. I'd listen to her music and I'd go,
eh. Give it a pause.
Sounds greasy. Yeah, sounds greasy. I don't know if I like that. All right. I see America is still talking about the right-wing protests. There's still a lot of discussion around that. A lot of people saying Trump didn't condemn it unequivocally enough. I don't know. I saw his response immediately after he said, this egregious blah, 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 on both sides. And I think people had a problem with him saying on both sides.
But what does that mean when he says he's both?
Well, because there were these 170-odd right-wing nationalist white protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, there were the Antifa, the anti-fascists, these guys who have shields and they also carry weapons, and they were wearing black. And there were skirmishes between the two of them. So I think what he means is if there's a violent protest, you shouldn't meet that with violence. But then I don't know what he expects people to do. So I don't know. I mean, this whole thing is just so, it's really, the only reason it's a big deal, I mean, how many white supremacist protests have there been in the last 10 years?
One?
We can check the KKK meeting agendas.
Yeah, we'll check their meeting agendas.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's why it's getting so much extra attention, and rightly so.
But for a whole bunch of people who don't care what Donald Trump says, they really care what he says this week.
Suddenly everybody's really in his world and involved in his language, and they're observing him at close quarters, where before they were saying he's just an idiot, don't worry about what he says. Now suddenly his words matter. You know, make up your mind, which one's it going to be?
No, their minds are made up. They don't like Trump.
Right. And therefore they don't.
Yeah.
They're going to find reason to have trouble with everything he says.
That's humans for you. I mean, come on.
All right. Let's go to our blind film critic and speak to him. I think we've spoken before, because I do remember not so long ago, Tommy Edison's on the line, everybody. Tommy, morning, and nice to talk to you. I know it's late night over there in Connecticut. How are you, dude?
No, I'm actually in California.
You're
it's,
in Cali?
And it's not too bad. It's just past 9 o'clock at night, so it's pretty good.
All right, not too bad at all. I'm sure we've spoken before, because I remember...
Yeah, I think we have two. This is my favorite morning radio gig to do, because it's, you know, it's just in the evening time here, so it's great.
Right, you could have had three drinks by now. Who knows? You could even be paying less attention. So listen, man, I've always been fascinated by this because I always say radio is TV for the blind. And then obviously there are other things that blind people pick up when you're only listening to sound that maybe people who are watching something, the visual distraction can be overarching and sometimes it can make you miss out on things. So I always think it's really interesting to take someone like you who isn't watching the movie, who isn't paying attention to the hot actress in the little titty dress, and you're able to look at this or to hear it and to be able to derive whether or not there actually is a storyline and whether or not it's any good. I love that. That's like a quality control. I reckon Hollywood should be employing you to consult them on scripting.
A little louder, sir. I don't think they're hearing you. Yeah. So just a little louder, please.
Listen, Hollywood. Okay, so let me ask you about a couple of movies quickly, because then we can get straight into it. When you when you go to Fast and Furious 223, what's that movie like for you? What's the dialogue like? What quality of scripting do you encounter in a movie like that? How much of the movie is just sound effects of crashes and noise and screeching tires? I mean, Fast and Furious, how do you rate those?
Most of it is pretty dull. I mean, it's a yawn fest for me. You know, it's a noisy yawn fest, but again, there's not a lot of writing in a thing like that. It's all eye candy, isn't it? You know, the same thing sort of goes for all the superhero movies, like all the Marvel stuff, you know, like X-Men and Thor and all that kind of stuff. I find it all very dull, you know. But it's just meant to be watched. It's not meant to be heard, I think. You know, I like a story. I like something with much more of a story to it, no matter what it is. You have good and bad stories, but I do enjoy the story.
All right, so tell me what movies recently you've really enjoyed, because then we'll know what the good stories are and we'll be able to go and see those and enjoy them.
Sure. Well, let's talk about some of the Oscar movies, like Manchester by the Sea, for example. It was great. It was, you know, it's sad. It's depressing, but man, it's great. I like that so much. What are the Hidden Figures is really nice. That was totally story driven. It's a good little film.
Right.
I saw a movie recently called Blind with Alec Baldwin in it.
Now you're biased. I mean, that's just I can't believe you even brought that one up.
Well, I brought it up to sort of goof on it a little bit. I mean, it was it's a reference that you might have, the Hallmark Channel in the U.S. here, yeah. these really cheesy sort of love movies, you know, that, and they make millions of them a year, and they show them all day long. So it had some of that quality, and some of the stuff that they did, you know, like they're telling this kid who's going to work with Al, but, you know, be careful, he may want to touch you. Oi, come on, really? I've never just reached out and touched somebody in my life. Now you have to ask permission when you do something like that.
What do you imagine, because you've been blind since birth, so you're not in any way influenced by the kinds of things that we all are visually. So tell me, what do you imagine someone like Charlize Theron looks like?
Well, so I'll tell you what I know straight away, and then we'll go with what I think she looks like. Now, they say she's beautiful. They say she's amazing, a lovely-looking woman.
So what do you picture as beautiful?
I don't really know. Beautiful to me is not looks. Beautiful to me is personality. Beautiful to me is somebody's sense of humor. Beautiful to me is somebody's soul. The things that they say, the things that they feel, the things that they do. Like, that's beauty for me.
Oh, my God, you've made me feel so superficial, I'm going to kill myself.
Well, don't do that. Maybe I could do breakfast show from here.
All right.
No, don't.
These
are just the things that I like, because I don't get that beauty thing. So I go for a whole different kind of beauty. That's all. It's still beautiful, but it's a whole different thing.
Who is beautiful then in your eyes, in your mind, when you imagine a beautiful person, when you're listening to a radio show, or you're watching a television program, or whatever it might be, and you hear this person talking, and you can glimpse some of their personality. What kind of people to you are really beautiful people?
Well, I like people that are nice. I like people that are compassionate. I certainly like people that are funny, that make me laugh and smile. You know, I like people that make you feel special. You know what I mean? There's some of your friends that they're sort of, and then there's the other friends that you hang out with all the time that make you feel special. So, like, that kind of stuff really works for me. I love that. And just, you know, to just getting along with somebody, you know, and having a lot of laughs every time you hang out is so much fun, you know, and that, like, that's beautiful. I think.
How do you imagine color?
See, now you're asking the good questions. I love you, sir. You're fantastic. Color to me, I don't really get it. Now, I know what color, like, for example, being in the red and being in the black, right? Speaking about finances and stuff like that. I understand that. And I understand, like, when someone's feeling blue, for example. But blue can also be a wonderfully happy color as well, I think. I mean, like, the ocean's blue and stuff like that. So colors really confuse me. And, you know, like skin color and that. I just don't care. I just don't. You know, the same, like, you know, I don't know how tall or small you are. I don't know how much you weigh. I don't know what kind of car you drive, what kind of clothing you wear. So I don't get any of that sort of visual judgment. I get to judge people on strictly what they are and what they say.
When you talk about racial differences, can you hear the difference between black and white people?
Not really, no. I mean, listen, there's, for example, Justin Timberlake, give me here, or I'll give you a better one, Eminem, all right, the rapper from Detroit, right? If you were to hear Eminem rap, you know, talk, and he says, you know, he talks a lot like somebody who's in the, you know, in the community. And he's not. He's a white kid, but he was raised, you know, in the community, and so that's the way he talks. So that would confuse me. So, you know, it's things like that that don't make me make an assumption like that, because I don't want, you know, I don't want to make the wrong assumption, especially these days, you know.
So when you hear accents, can you picture a certain kind of tribal identity, national identity, or do you just see someone with a funny voice in your head?
No, I just see somebody with a cool accent. Like, you know, when I meet, like, you know, South Africans like yourself, or an Aussie, or a Brit, or, you know, somebody from Iceland, or wherever, you know, I don't have any idea of what that person's supposed to look like because you're from this particular culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just hang out, and we have a nice time, and if he laughs, and if we get along, it's great, and if we don't, you know, there's somebody else I can talk to.
So if someone had an Australian accent, does that usually mean to you they're going to be funny?
No, that'd be like a weird stereotype. No, I mean, I suppose if I was going to do any sort of a stereotype, I would say that the Aussies are like, the thing I'm trying to say is there's so many things in Australia that can kill you. So Australians are sort of rugged, you know what I mean? They're, like, they're not afraid, they're fearless.
Ben was going to say criminals. But then that's
what
Ben, who's with me in the studio, is going to say criminals.
Well, they're descended from them, allegedly. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Tommy, I love the Aussies. I love the Australian people.
I saw you on episode of Tosh.0. It was one of the best bits that he's done in quite some time. I've watched that show a lot. How long does something like that take? And what's it like being interviewed by him? Because that interview took in a lot, and it was very edited down. Like, how was it?
It was wonderful. I had a great time with those guys. I really did. It was an early morning shoot. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't a terribly long drive over. And we got there and did hair and makeup and all that stuff. And then he brought me, you know, they bring me out and he comes out and I get to meet him and stuff. And honestly, we sat and I think they had 38 questions that they could ask, and they just sort of went through them. And as he was sort of getting stuck on questions, somebody, you know, one of the crew would be, how about number 16? You know, and then they'd ask me another question. but it was great. He couldn't have been nicer. It was a lot of fun. And they joke around on that show, but, you know, it's all good. It's, you know, it was nothing that hurt my feelings. I mean, like, I was on the Howard Stern show too, on the radio a long time ago. And again, that's one of those shows that people say is very rough, but they were lovely to me. They were just great.
And what about sport? Is there any sort of sport that you really gravitate towards or enjoy?
I do. I love sport. I love American baseball. I'm a giant fan of baseball. I think baseball is a wonderful game. It's, you know, there's so many things about it. There's a rhythm to it. There's a sound to it. It's almost like the ocean, the way the crowd sort of, you know, the ups and downs, and you can hear the crowd and everything.
Can you hear when someone's hit a good shot?
Not really, no. Although I did, one time I said the best seats I've ever had were the second row behind the home plate. And that was incredible because I could hear
what a waste to give you that seat. I mean, that's outrageous.
Hey, listen, what are you going to say? But you know what? It wasn't a waste, and I'll tell you why. Because I could hear the players talking. I could hear, it was great. It was baseball like I've never heard it before. Right. And it was so much fun.
All right, well, that does sound pretty good. I think that the world must be fascinating because sometimes what you see can prevent you from getting the real story.
That's exactly right. You know, you talk about that. One of the things that people see is food, right?
Right.
People see a dish of food and it looks great and it's appetizing and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't work for me. Like cheese, for example. I don't eat cheese because I don't like the smell of it. And I don't like the way it feels in my mouth and stuff. Like pasta is another one. People love pasta. I don't eat it. I don't – imagine not looking at it and just touching it. You'd never put that in your mouth, ever. You never would.
Yeah, it doesn't have a smell that's particularly interesting without a sauce on it, right? And it doesn't.
That's right.
It doesn't feel tactile. It doesn't. It doesn't have a nice feeling. It's almost like, yeah, this is mushy and revolting. Why would I want to put this in my mouth?
Exactly right. And so with that, there's a bunch of food that I just don't eat. That's very strange. But you know, it's one of, if you don't see it, you don't want it.
How about music? I mean, it must be. It must be an important part of what makes a movie great when you're doing movie reviews, but also I suppose this soundtrack to you is important because that's filling in those gaps that ordinarily for people who can see, that would fill in the color and the depth and all the rest of it from a visual point of view. Does it or does it not?
No, it does. It can. I mean, you look at a movie, let's look at like a classic, like The Big Lebowski, for example. So there's one part where he's sort of freaking out. Remember, and the music is an old Kenny Rogers, the First Edition record called, I just checked in to see what condition my condition was in. Just stopped him. And so that movie sort of explains the freak out that the character is having at that moment. And so it really helps to tell the story. Goodfellas, the music really helps to tell the story too. There's that one part towards the end where it's real manic and he's got nine things going at once. And Harry Nilsson's Into the Fire, whatever that record's called, you know, with that great bass part. And it's just so manic and so, it just creates all this tension and it really helps to propel the story.
Can you tell how old someone is by the sound of their voice?
Well, I don't know. I'll take a guess. You ready? Yeah. So there's what? Three of you in the studio, right? So we'll do all three. We'll do the answers after.
All right.
So you're first. I'm gonna say you're 33.
Nice.
Okay.
I'll take
next.
I'll take it.
Tommy, me. How old do you think I am?
Listen. We're hardly talking about it. I feel like you're. Well, he's laughing. So I'll put you at about 40.
That's excellent. And exactly right. And Sia, talk a little bit, and then we'll get Sia and Mabalia. They're actually two other people. So, Sia, you go
first.
All
right, that's four. Right.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
Fantastic.
You seem like you're excellent. I'm going to put you – I think you're young. I'll put you at 26.
Whoa, never mind. Sorry, wait. I was getting excited.
Don't ruin the answers. All
right, okay. We won't give you the answers yet. And then, Mabalia, do you want to say hello to Tommy, and maybe he can guess how old you are?
Hi, Tommy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Listen, the voice of a goddess, everybody. Yes. Good morning.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's a good start.
I'm going to put you at, I don't know. I'm going to put you at like 32.
Ah. Oh, yeah. I think I'm the closest person you got right. I'm 33.
All right, so you got Ben spot on though. I mean, he is 40.
I'm 35.
Oh, all right. So I'm a little off today. I didn't do so well.
Sia's 22. Mabali is 34.
Actually.
Four. So you're 34. Only 2 years old. Yeah, that was close.
Somebody just had a birthday.
And I'm turning 40.
Wow. Jesus. Wow. See, so I guess I can't really tell how old anybody is by their voice, which is sort of nice. You know, one of the things that somebody asked me on YouTube, and I think we're going to do a video on this perhaps, it's about people aging, you know, and children age so quickly. They just bang, bang, bang. They're changing all the time. But once you hit adulthood, I really don't notice the change in age.
It all
you
slows down.
Yeah, it all kind of sounds the same as you get. Now, if you get sick, like, for example, my mom got sick and died a bunch of years ago. So her voice changed and her mannerisms and all that kind of changed because of the sickness. But my dad is still doing really well and he still sounds, you know, like he did when I was a kid. It's freaky.
What are the most difficult things that you have to deal with being a blind person who goes to movies? And you're quite well known. I mean, I reckon probably people would know who you were. Especially the people who listen to the stations that you're on. So what are the major challenges for you? What are the areas that you still can't do what everyone else is doing? Because, you know, obviously technology has helped a lot these days. And, you know, people are kind of more understanding than they were 100 years ago to blind people. But it's still not perfect, right?
Big time. No. But I'll tell you what, it's gotten so much better. Yeah, now, the answer for this a couple of years ago would have been transportation. I did not like the taxi business. I had a lot of problem with the taxi. You know, they made me wait an awful lot. But with Uber and Lyft and different ride-sharing services like that, or Didi and China, whatever you like, they've really changed the game for me, and it's brilliant. So getting around is so much easier. So there's really not too many things that are so difficult anymore. You know, I suppose the weirdest thing that happens is just walking around and people shouting at me and beeping at me and things like this. You know, it's that's, you know, I have the most trouble, I guess, with sighted people.
Do you ever have situations where people who don't realize that you're blind are rude and mean to you, and then when they find out that you're blind, they feel all terrible and they fall over themselves to apologize?
It's happened, sure. It's one of the places that that will happen to me is like in bars and stuff, right? Or, you know, salute time or whatever, you know. But I'll go in and people go, like, I'll be with somebody and people will say to my, you know, the person who I'm with,
yeah,
I think your friend's had a little too much. I'm not going to serve him. And then I take out my cane and they go, oh, I'm so sorry. And then I get a couple free ones. So, you know, it works out.
Wow. I'm fascinated. How do you describe yourself when you describe how you look to people?
So I would say that I'm about 6 feet, 6 foot one. I don't know what that is in metric. Sorry. But I'm sort of a what else? I don't know. A couple of 100 pounds. I've sort of salt and pepper hair. I have blue eyes. I have nice skin. You know, I'm clean shaven. I have short hair. I think that would be the way I'd describe myself. And I'm adorable.
Well, it sounds like you're a...
Oh, look, she's laughing, eh? Maybe I am.
Do you dream in pictures?
No, I can't. See, because I'm blind since birth, so I don't dream in pictures. Because my subconscious doesn't know how to create that, because it's never seen it before. So I don't have that. But I have very vivid dreams with my other senses that I can see, hear, smell, and touch. Hear, taste, smell, and touch. I beg your pardon.
Right.
But yeah. It's freaky. I mean, I'll tell you a quick story. After my mom had died, about a year later, I had a dream that was so vivid. I could smell her perfume and everything. And the dream was that she had faked her own death and she'd come to my house to tell me. And it freaked me out. I woke up in the morning going, whoa, that's weird. But it was like she was right there. It was so clear and so vivid. So dreams can do that to me too.
What's scary when you can't see? I mean, if we watch movies with monsters and zombies and vampires and scary stuff in it, I mean, that's frightening from a visual point of view. How do you get scared in a movie? I mean, what kind of sounds frighten you?
I'll tell you, but, you know, those jump scares work. Yeah. They just, you know, there's a loud sort of boom, and you're like, whoa. But if it's a well-written story, like, for example, there was a movie last summer called Don't Breathe, made by a guy named Fede Alvarez. And it was a film about these kids who go to rob a blind guy in Detroit. And it was a little too visual for me, but it really worked. It had a ton of atmosphere to it. I mean, from the moment it started, it was just like, whoa, I'm someplace, you know, sort of scary now. And so the music adds to it, the sound effects add to it, all that kind of stuff. It's not the visuals that get me so much. But again, if you tell the story well, you can really, you know, all that stuff can freak me out, be very scary.
Is this a scary voice?
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
Is that a scary voice?
No, not to me. Not to me, it is.
All right.
Not to me.
Wow, this is I love talking to you, Tommy. Thanks so much for talking to us this morning.
I love talking to you guys. It's lovely being here. Thank you so much for having me this morning. It's great.
Really good to chat to you, and we'll speak to you again soon.
You got it, my friend. Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you. Tommy Edison, everybody. He's been blind since birth. He's a blind movie critic. And he will go to a movie, and he'll tell you what it's really like. You don't get distracted by all the visual crap.
So when he was on the Tosh.0 show, I'll put the video up on the podcast page. So they dressed up in a bright orange suit, and they had the cinema setting where the screen was like a smartphone. And they were like, well, you're not going to get the difference.
As long as there's a good sound system, then
right.
It's good.
A huge sound system.
Yeah,
was such a good little sketch. I'll put it up on the website for you.
That's awesome. All right, let's get into some news. Well, the five things you need to know to start your day this morning, and that's with Mabali Maloy. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. That's right, Mubs. What are the five things that we need to know this morning?
Well, sections of Pretoria are going to be brought to a standstill this morning because taxi operators are taking to the streets today. They are protesting against the issuing of enforcement tickets, which they say is blocking their efforts to renew professional driving permits, drivers and vehicles, car licenses. So thousands of taxi operators from Mamelodi, Ettridgeville, Mabopane, Soshanguve, Garankuwa and the CBD are going to be driving at speeds of at least 20 kilometers per hour. They're slowing things down today.
Ugh.
And they're all headed
as
to...
As if we don't hate them enough.
And they're all... They don't care. And they're all headed to Tshwane House to hand over their memorandum, so you can expect traffic delays this morning up until the afternoon in parts of Tshwane. Now, what do you do when you are ordered to appear in a court?
You go. Yeah.
No, you don't. Not if you are First Lady Grace Mugabe, who was expected to appear in the Randburg Magistrates Court yesterday afternoon. But no, no, no. The Zimbabwe's First Lady has safely returned back to her country in Zimbabwe. And according to a Zimbabwean government official who declined to be named because, you know, they were not authorized to speak to the media, he said, yes, she is back in the country. We don't know where this issue of assault charges is coming from. Gabriella Engels, who is 20 years old, has opened a criminal case against the First Lady, claiming that she was assaulted in a Sandton hotel room on Sunday night. The First Lady was... expected to hand herself over to the South African police to face charges of assault, but I mean, nobody tells the First Lady of Zimbabwe what to do, so she went straight back home. All right, now Taylor Swift.
Shame.
Taylor Swift has won her trial against a Colorado radio personality. This is after a jury found that the former DJ had assaulted and battered Swift by groping her bare bottom, and she was awarded an astounding amount of...
How much?
$1.
What?
In damages.
I don't get that.
Well, that's the amount that she had sought, Sia. Right. So it's some other kind of symbolic amount that they're calling it. Because, I mean, Taylor Swift, she doesn't need money.
That is such an in-your-face...
She's not going to get money from a radio DJ. No,
yes, I mean, she... Apparently, she said that, well, she doesn't want to bankrupt the guy. She just wants him, you know, to be embarrassed by being found guilty by a jury in a court of law, which is exactly what has happened. So
right. The
DJ was found guilty, and Taylor Swift is now exactly... $1 richer.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
All right. Very nice, Taylor. What else?
Lastly, the CEO of F&B has, I guess, in some way or another, made some kind of public statement by saying that he is no longer going to be flying with SAA, citing that the abuse has to come to an end. And those are his words. And so Democratic Alliance MP Alf Lees, is it Lees or Leas? I don't know. He says, kudos to you, F&B CEO. And now he is urging other bank executives and leadership to follow suit in the CEO's footsteps, especially if the banks are owed money by the national carrier. So he's coming out saying, I am actually going to be supporting all the other smaller Nyana airlines until... F&B can get their house in order. Now, the finance minister revealed earlier this week that there could be a new CEO soon for SAA. That was according to Minister Malusi Gigaba, who confirmed it in Parliament earlier this week, saying that the position will be filled in due course.
Now, I want to talk about this a little later on. I want to hear what you think, whether you believe it's appropriate for us to stop supporting all state-owned enterprises, like a lot of them. In other words, do not fly SAA. Cut down on Eskom if you can. Start using solar power. Start having your own battery packs in your house. You know, there are various ways that you can generate some of your own power. Don't use the SABC. Don't listen to and watch the SABC.
Oh, I got a message yesterday, Gareth, saying my account's been handed over to new people.
Great. E-tolls, don't pay those. We should all stop using state-owned enterprises. In every place that we can, we should stop using them. And I think there's merit in that argument. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. The news headlines brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They've got a great app. It's the Colcacchio Rewards app. Ben is a maestro on it. He knows exactly how to use it. Every time you go there, right, you can claim rewards.
Well, yeah, you're either earning or you're claiming. So... Right. So you can earn every time you buy something, and then when you get the slices up, you can go onto a certain page in the app, and you say, I want to redeem this. And you actually press it, you get a code, you get food, you don't pay money. But you got to build the slices up.
Well, if you build up enough slices, you actually end up getting free pizzas, which is fantastic.
Easy as that.
Yeah. I don't see why anyone doesn't do it. Let's get over to Ben and find out what's going on in the world of sport. What do you got for us this morning? You were complaining. Ben was complaining to me earlier that there's nothing happening in sport today.
Well,
Ben, to tell us.
Essentially, Gareth, there is bugger all. I mean, Liverpool beat Hoffenheim yesterday. Mm-hmm. So before you get into the Champions League, if you're a sort of lesser team like Liverpool, you've got to play these dicky qualification matches before the season really gets going. But if Liverpool are struggling to really put away a team like Hoffenheim, I don't think they're going to do too much in the pool stages.
I've never heard of them.
Well, exactly. That's what happens, because this is what Arsenal normally does, right? They finish fourth, and then they go into these dicky little playoffs where they play teams that sound like dairy products. And, it's no biggie. Cricket's probably the biggest news. So Otis Gibson, who will be the new Proteas coach, it looks like he's agreeing terms currently. He is contracted to the ECB, which is the English Cricket Board, until the end of 2018. But essentially the CSA and the ECB have agreed on terms. They're working out a compensation package right now. So basically Gibson will be with England until the end of the West Indies series. Now the West Indies series takes place from this week. They're playing a day-night test match. So he'll be there until the end of the third test, which will be mid-September. Which will give him, not a lot of time, because 28th of September sees the first test between SA and Bangladesh. Right. Now, the Proteas, despite the dicking they got in England, they are still ranked the second best test team in the world. But now they take on Bangladesh at home, which is exactly the opponents they need, really, because, they've had a torrid time of things, haven't they? It just hasn't gone so well. They need to establish a few things in that team, mostly a top five that can be depended on, an all-rounder that can, it should be an all-rounder. And, is Dale Steyn coming back? Is Morne Morkel taking a call pack? Is he going away? Is Hashim Amla taking a call pack and going away? These are all various things that Otis Gibson now comes into.
Otis. I love that name. Such an old school name.
As I said, Otis.
What's your name? My name, Otis.
He's set up a failure, really, because this isn't the kind of time that you want this gig. I mean, there's been better times in the history of SA cricket where you want to be their coach.
Right.
Not so much now.
They're in the doldrums.
So, Otis will literally come out of the English series against the West Indies. He'll come here. He'll learn a few key Afrikaans words.
Yeah.
He'll no doubt chat to Du Plessis at length. Eben de Villiers might send him a tweet. And then he'll go straight into actually coaching this team in a test series. The first test will be September the 28th in Potchefstroom. So Otis will get to see where Potch is too.
How exciting
for
him.
And then from there,
what a place to start.
6th of October, the next test will be in Bloemfontein. So Otis will be hitting all the big cities straight up. And it's going to be difficult. But as soon as that gets officially announced, so we get closer to the time, I'll break down just the big challenges that Otis does have ahead.
Sounds like Otis is getting the worst package deal holiday anyone's ever got in their life.
Pretty much. Hey, Otis, how's the new job going? Well, I'm in Potch. What's Potch?
It's a little town with a university.
Potch is actually cool. I spent some time there. It's nice.
It's not a bad place.
Not a bad place at all. So, England will take on West Indies. There's a test series going on. First test will be at Edgbaston. That's this week. With a pink ball.
Oh.
That's all happening.
How exciting.
Now, the whole day-night test thing is really cool until you play at night in England, where it's cold.
Ah, I see.
Although it does get dark quite late there, so the whole daylight into nighttime period will be a bit more protracted than usual. So it'll be interesting to see, because each time one of these tests is played in a different country, nobody knows how it's going to react. How's the pink ball going to swing at night? How's it going to work? What's the dew situation going to be like? These balls aren't the hardiest. So far it's taking place in the UAE, and it's taking place in Australia. I think that's it. It's just two countries so far have had this pink ball test. Very, very fun. In football news, the UEFA seem to have a Football of the Year thing. I didn't know about this. UEFA Men's Player of the Year. Now, when you think Player of the Year, it's the FIFA Ballon d'Or, and it's now the FIFA Best, okay? That's all that really anyone cares about. But UEFA also have one. Like, it's quite strange, because they have one, and they're given to people outside of Messi and Ronaldo in the last decade, which is stupid, seeing as those two have been the best by quite some distance. I mean, in 2012, they gave it to Iniesta. In 2013, they gave it to that underage prostitute Wrangler Ribery. That's strange. So their nominations this year are Buffon, the goalkeeper who sadly could never win a Champions League title, despite the fact he did
everything.
Are
they just doing this because the Ronaldo-Messi duo have won every other award, and now they're trying to create a new award just so the other people can feel included?
Well, it's been going on, but UEFA is the poor cousin of everything. Because you get the UEFA Champions League, but it's not really the biggest deal.
No.
Sorry, you get the Champions League and you get that UEFA Cup. What's it called? The one that Man United won last year.
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So the other two people are Ronaldo and Messi. So it's Buffon, Ronaldo, and Messi. But all they really care about is that FIFA award. So this one, it'll be announced and everyone will be like, oh, okay.
Okay, nice. Is there a cash prize maybe that will sweeten the deal? Nothing.
Not even. It's just a whole bunch of journalists get thrown in here and they've got to pick one. So it's just giving journalists things to do, which make them feel important, which I guess is kind of nice. And in rugby, Gareth, there's still so much controversy around that red Springbok jersey. But don't worry, they're only going to be wearing it in Argentina. So it's not like we're going to be watching them this Saturday. And everyone's like, oh, fuck, look at these cock jerseys. And it's just a once-off thing. And I know it's like a slippery slope, but I kind of agree with Jack White, who said, you know, if it's a red jersey this year, what's it going to be next year? People are going to keep trying to make, like, quick bucks out of the box, and that's not the way forward for them. It's bad for the brand, it's bad for everything. But yeah, this weekend, Saturday, 5 o'clock, South Africa versus Argentina. And if Elton Jenkins gets injured, well, they're screwed. Mostly because there's no other fly-offs. Pollard's always injured. Kerwin Bosch, it's like a long-term play. They don't seem too excited about him currently. So, Elton, just don't get injured. Yeah.
Elton.
Let's finish off with that. Elton, don't get injured.
That would be nice. Good for him. If he manages to stay uninjured, that would be the achievement of sport this morning.
Yeah.
And our good wishes to him. All right, that's it for the sport. Let's get to Anthea and see what's going on with your money. You ready for that? Are you, Sia? I couldn't hear you there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Here she is.
Ba-ba-da, ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-da. She works hard for my money, Anthea. She works hard for your money, Anthea. She works hard for her money, so we better treat her right.
All right, Anthea, what do you got for us today?
Good morning, Gareth. So the Rand had a little bounce yesterday. That was after it was announced that the North Gauteng High Court had rejected the public protector's request to have the Reserve Bank's mandate altered. But the US dollar is just too strong at the moment, and so the Rand weakened to 13.41 last night. It has had a bit of a pullback this morning to 13.31, and I hope it can hang in there, because already I see we're getting another petrol price hike in a couple of weeks' time, and that's because of the weaker rand and higher oil price. And this time around, it's a fairly hefty increase. It's about 63 cents a litre.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then on the JSE, volumes were pretty low again yesterday. There was little appetite for buying, I see. The market fell about 1%. The vulnerable shares, like the PPC, was down 7%. Lundman was down 6%. And then some of the resources took a lot of pain. That was mostly because of weaker commodity prices. Billiton was down 3%. Anglo was down just over 2%. Precious metals as well, like golds and platinums, were both down 3%. Lonmin down 6%. You know, so quite a big move in the big cap names. Harmony fell 4%. So did Sibanye-Stillwater. Harmony, though, they released a trading statement the previous day, saying that they're expecting headline earnings per share to increase between 25 and 45%, which sounds good, but I'm afraid there's an anomaly in this. The earnings per share number is expected to decrease between 70 and 50%, and mostly that's because of an impairment that they're writing down 1.7 billion rand, and also they made a 917 million rand provision for a possible silicosis class action lawsuit. So, of course, the magic in the numbers, if you look at the headline earnings, it's an increase, but the earnings, it's a decrease. They have got some strong cash flow at the moment, so that's good for them. I think it's a company doing okay.
Okay.
And then Cup Industrials also reported. They're the diversified industrials. We know them because we always talk about their bedding business, but they also do chemicals and automotive parts. They put out a decent set of results yesterday.
They better not get mixed up between their companies, because if you mix up bedding materials with auto parts and chemicals, you could end up with some problems.
I think that you'll find the bedding, the mattresses, and the chemicals actually go hand in hand.
Well, hopefully not dangerous chemicals in a mattress, otherwise you'll wake up itchy or you won't wake up at all.
Yes, that could be a bit uncomfortable. But I think foam is made from chemical, isn't it?
Sorry?
Mattress foam, anyway. Okay, so the company reported revenue up 23% to 20 billion rand, headline earnings up 15%, so pretty much in line with expectations. And this is important to us, not because we own CAP shares, but because we own Steinhoff, who own, I think it is over 40% of CAP, the company CAP. It's now trading on a 13.8 times price, forward price earnings, and there's still about 20% upside to our target price on this share. And you know what? Actually, just as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking it might actually be worth adding a few CAP shares and getting direct exposure, not just through Steinhoff. I think what I'll do is I think I'm going to do some work on this later today. Of course, I'll keep you posted if I do change anything in the portfolios.
All right, cool.
And then global shares slightly higher this morning. Commodity prices also a bit higher. The Rand had the pullback, as I said, so I think that could keep our market in check today, though.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it, I think.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. We've got enough to chew on. Don't worry.
All right, good.
All right, Anthea.
Thanks, Gareth.
Thank you. Anthea Gardner with a look at the money shot. Sia Sangweni has got Said by Sia for us this morning. Yesterday he told us that all the bad news that you read about isn't representative of what's really going on, because nobody goes into towns where everything's happy and perfect and working, or where people aren't fighting, or where no one's been killed, and goes, everything's okay here, Jim, back to the studio.
Basically, yes.
So what do you got for us today?
Well, this morning we really slightly brushed over this last week, but I just thought that it deserved a bit more time this week. And this is a very short documentary that's recently been released that incorporates Jim Carrey and his latest, you know, love and passion for expressing himself through art. The documentary is titled I Needed Color. Now, we'll put this on our website as well. It's 6 minutes and 19 seconds of your life, which is not a lot of time, really. But I think it is
beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. It just made me so happy to see someone who we already know is one of the funniest people, talented actor, really, really good guy all around. I mean, very few people have anything nasty to say about Jim Carrey. And when you watch him painting, you in the beginning you think, uh-oh, this is some Hollywood douchebag who's trying to show off some other talent he has, and it's probably mediocre. But as you watch it and as you listen to him, you realize this is one of his passions.
Mm.
And he started doing it after his breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Was it with Jenny McCarthy?
Around that time, but then most importantly as well, because this, he talks about, you know, his love for art and painting, et cetera, but he also really gets very emotional, and you really think about it. He's 55 years old, he's had this amazing career, but at the end of the day, guys, as just like all of us, he's just human, and he's had quite a horrible breakup in the past couple of years,
mm-hmm.
where his ex-girlfriend ended up committing suicide,
right.
and her family is suing him. Blaming him for it. So you just think about, this is just a guy who's trying to get through this thing called life, and, you know, he's expressing himself through art. So, you know, even if you aren't into art, you know, to hear the backstory of this and how someone expresses themselves, that's quite awesome. But if that's not to your liking, I'll start giving you another, you know, one-liner of something to make you feel good every single day. And today's reason to make you feel good is that, listen, nobody else really knows what they're doing either.
That's a good point.
Nobody does. Clearly, don't be so hard on yourself.
We always think that people who are in charge of important things, or who have more responsibilities than us, that run countries or run big companies or make important decisions about, you know, war and peace, that we think that they're smarter than us and that they know more than we do. Actually, you can rest easy that that is not the case. I don't know if that makes you rest easy. A lot of people would be more disturbed by that. But there we go. All right. And then I got a message from somebody here that we actually gave an incorrect definition yesterday for something. and the Red Hot Chili Peppers song that came up in, do you remember we were talking about meanings of lyrics?
Yeah.
The lyric game or?
The lyric game.
Uh-huh.
And the word Zephyr came up, and I said, oh, I think it might have been a car. Catherine has just corrected me. She said, I was listening to your podcast yesterday evening about misheard lyrics, and a Zephyr is actually a gentle breeze. Isn't that nice? I didn't know that.
I've never heard that.
Z-E-P-H-Y-R. Nice word. So I thought, why the hell not play the song? That'll get us going this morning. So Zephyr, Z-E-P-H-Y-R. It's a gentle breeze. It's not a car. Gareth, you idiot. Thank you, Catherine. Always good to have the real info. Can I get your hand to ride on?
This is CliffCentral.com.